Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now for the best part, let's get into the word.
Season, the Lord is taking me on every message that he brings to me is a message of faith. And I believe that God is wanting somebody to increase their faith. Talking about somebody that, you know, maybe your faith is waning or something like that, but he wants us to come back to faith, believing in him, standing on his word. So this afternoon I'll be speaking about a subject I've called the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. May we hear with faith, and may we hear only the things that augment our faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Faith is very important. Paul speaks about faith in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. He talks about the armor of God, the armor, putting on the full armor of God. And when he comes to verse 16, he talks about faith, and he says, above all, put on all the other, you know, instruments of war, all the other parts of the armor. But when it comes to faith, he says it is above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. Faith is the shield. Without the shield, you are vulnerable. A Christian without faith is a vulnerable Christian. You need faith, my friend. If you do not have faith, like you are naked. Faith is the shield. He says, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, faith is very important because it is a shield. It shields us. It's other versions say it's by faith you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. It's an extinguisher. Whenever the enemy throws anything at you and you just put faith, it is extinguished. It cannot reach your inside. Hallelujah. Faith is very important because it is the way to receive God. Without faith, you cannot receive God. God does not come by feelings. God does not come by sight, but he comes by faith. By faith is how we receive God. Hallelujah. You need faith. Faith is important because it is the way we receive from God. It is the way we receive from God. Without faith, you cannot receive from God. You can pray, yes, but if you pray without faith, you will not get anything. Somebody is saying, what? Yeah, you can pray, but if you pray without faith, you will not receive anything. Faith, my friend, is very important. You need faith. It is the vehicle, it's the conduit through which we receive from God. Hallelujah. Faith is very important. It's because it's the way by which we live as Christians. It's the way by which we live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. If you live by sight, you are going to be in serious trouble. Because the eyes will show you only monsters around you. Everything is a monster. Everything is a giant. Reminded of the spies who went into the promised land to spy the land. God has given them the land, but they still want to test to see. So he's saying, enter, I've given you the land. You know, we first want to see. Moses sends in 12. 10 of them, when they got in there, what they saw terrified them. Their eyes, listen, it's their eyes that terrified them. Because when they come back with the report, they say, they come back with, you know, the goods of the land. They come with proof that the land indeed flows with milk and honey. But then they come back with fear also. Instead of faith, they came back with fear. And they began to tell the rest of the people, we can't take over that land. Said, what we saw? What did you see? We saw giants. What? Huge men. Really? And when we looked at them, they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, in their own. Nobody told them that they're grasshoppers. It was in them. So they walked by sight, not by faith. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, shh. They shushed these guys and said, shut up. See, these voices, those 10 spies I'm talking about, could be in you. They could be in you. What? Which voices are the majority? Because the majority said, we cannot take over. The minority said, we are well able to take them. For God will give them to us. They will be like bread. We will eat them up. When they looked at the giants, they saw something so big that they could not miss. How can you miss a giant? If you have a javelin or whatever you have, you cannot miss a giant. Just throw it and then you'll hit the giant. So, the majority refused. The majority said, we can't, because of their sight. They walked by sight. Child of God, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, but what does it say? It says, the word is near you. Romans 10, 8. The word is near you. The word is near you. It is not far away from you. It says, in your mouth it is. Even in your heart. What word is he talking about? That word, which is the word of faith, which I'm preaching right now, is not very far from you. Verse 9, because if we confess, you cannot confess it until you believe it. If we do what? Confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart. You've got to believe. You've got to be a believer. In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why? For with the heart one believes. With the what? The heart, not the eyes. We do not believe with the eyes. Have you ever seen this guy say, let me see. Oh, this phone is awesome. Very beautiful. This guy does not believe in us, but he says, let me see. And when he wants to see with his hands, but you can see. Look, you can see from here. No, I want to see. Those are the kind of people who who see with their hands. You've got to see with your heart. You've got to believe with your heart. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And then with the mouth they confess unto salvation. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, everyone, not some people, everyone. This is not just for the pastors. It's not just for the bishops. It's not just for the prophets, the archbishops, the arch-whatevers. It is for what? Everyone. Everyone means everyone. Simple as that. Everyone who does what? Believes on him shall not be put to shame. If you keep on believing, my friend, if you keep on having faith, you will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame. That faith which by which you were saved, that faith which you had and received will not put you to shame. Never. Hallelujah. Romans 10:16 says, where Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Who has believed what he has heard from us? Verse 16. But they have not obeyed the gospel. There are some people who did not obey the gospel. Who did not, when they heard, they heard with other things. They heard with these physical ears. If you hear with the physical ears, you will not obey. You've got to hear with the internal ears. For they heard, they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Who has believed what we speak? Who has believed the gospel? Verse 17, so then, faith does what? Comes Faith comes. Has got to come. You've got to welcome it. Your heart has got to welcome it. It's got to open. You've got to open the door to faith. So faith comes by seeing? No. By hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. Hearing of faith is what we're talking about this morning. So, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that it matters what you hear. It matters what you hear. What you hear, what you allow into your ears, into your inside, will determine how you live your life. It matters what you hear. If it's the word of God, if it's the word of Christ, then it will bring faith. But if it's all these other voices that are going on around in our world, it will bring doubt, it will bring despondency, it will bring disease, it will bring depression, it will bring defeat. So you need to hear. Hear with the faith, the hearing of faith, but not just anything, hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to remain consistent in our faith. The faith with which you believe the gospel is the faith that you should be using right now, even in these troubled times. God wants you and I to remain consistent in our faith. That's what we're talking about. Consistency in faith. You cannot be consistent in faith unless you are hearing faith and hearing the word of God. We're going into Galatians chapter 3. Into Galatians chapter 3, we find Paul rebuking the Galatians. Paul rebukes the Galatians. For a reason. Galatians chapter 1, chapter, let's read from verse, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians 3:1 uses serious words which if they were not in the Bible, I wouldn't use them here. It says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." He calls them what? Foolish. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The truth which is the word of God, the truth which is the gospel that they had heard, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you also, who when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit." We are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. There's a guarantee of the inheritance. There's a guarantee of the promise of God. But you can only get this promise through faith. As long as you continue in the truth. As long as you continue in obeying the truth. Hallelujah. So we go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He asks them, "Why have you stopped obeying the truth?" Paul had preached the gospel to these guys prior to this time. But after he went and left and went to other places to preach, these guys quickly went back to where they were coming from. It's like water. Have you ever boiled water? However much you boil water, after you have boiled it and it's gone to, because there's a boiling, can it go beyond 100? What's the boiling point? Any scientist here? 100. Can it go beyond that? Okay. So after it has boiled and you turn it off, what will happen? It will go back to its former state. And that's how most Christians are. You understand? That's why the book of Revelation is asking, go back and go back to the love that which you had before, the love you forsook, your first love. When we came, everything was, we were on fire. But today, even tuning on to be online at home to listen to a message, It's like a dentist is pulling out your teeth. Remember how you were when you came to the Lord. Some of you, you would sleep in the church. Some of you would climb mountains to pray. But these days, but you don't know. Now we are in London. It's like it's, when you come to London, it's like you reached heaven. They were boiling. He left them up here. When he came, their faith was below sea level, because they had crossed back into where he had got them from. And yet he had clearly portrayed Jesus Christ before them as crucified. He had preached a message. This message was so vivid that, you know, it was clear. It was plain. It was a plain gospel. Let me tell you, this, what you need is not too much convoluted and too messages that are packed with heavy revelation. No, you just need plain gospel, a plain gospel. You were saved because of a plain gospel. And now these days, when the plain gospel is being preached, it's not too deep. It's not too... He said, when I came to you, I made it plain. That Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected. And you believed it. But what has happened? So he asks in this question in verse 2. He says, this only I want to learn from you. He says, please, just help me. I need to understand how you came from here to here. Tell me. How? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's asking them. His problem is that they were not consistent in faith. They were on Monday, he's up. On Tuesday, he's down. That's how we are. On Monday, we are just like this. We're just like, you know, ping-ponging. You need to be consistent in faith. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you need to be consistent in faith. No matter what the devil throws at you, consistency. I believe. You remember that? You said, when Paul says that the faith is a shield, you didn't have that shield. The day you put the shield down, that's when you are hit. Carry the shield with you wherever you go. Because the enemy does not take offs. The enemy is on at work 24/7. Even when you are asleep. That's why even when you are asleep, you are dreaming about snakes. You are dreaming about ghosts. You are people chasing you up and down. Because for him, he's working 24/7. You need to remain consistent. You need to remain firm in your faith, not falling away by the hearing of doubt. These guys, when he went, when Paul left them, some other people crept in and brought another gospel. And these days, there are many gospels that are going on. That's why you need to be careful what you are hearing. What are you hearing? If you hear negativity, especially in this season in which we are, there's too much negativity going on. Too much negativity on the social media. Too much negativity. Some true, some false. So you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Because once you have fallen away, my friend, it's not easy to come back. In this season, there are people who have fallen away very far. For them to come back, to recover, it's going to take time. You know why? It's because they let down their guard. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 4 says, for it is impossible, Hebrews 6, 4, it is impossible, we'll go back to Galatians, don't worry, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. Go on. Impossible. If they fail away, to renew them again to repent. This is the writer of the Hebrews Bible. for there are some people who have tested the heavenly gift and they have regressed, they have gone back, just like these Galatians. And he's saying it is impossible for to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. And he gives an example in verse 7. He says, for the earth which drinks in rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. In other words, you and I, remember the parable of the soils? You and I are a soil. He says, if you continue drinking the rain, the word of God, the word of God, and it comes upon you, you begin to bear herbs, you begin to be fruitful and useful. But by whom it was cultivated, you become fruitful for God, because you are continually receiving. You are consistent in your faith. You are consistent in your faith. You are consistent. You are continuing hearing and hearing and hearing faith. And therefore, because you are doing that, he said, you receive blessings from God. Then he just juxtaposes that with something else. He says in verse 8, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cast, whose end is to be burned. That is why, my friend, it's imperative that you remain. You do what? Remain in the faith. Remain in the faith. Remain consistent. Consistent. Believe in God like you did believe him when you came to the Lord. Remain in the faith. Keep on believing what you heard from the beginning by the hearing of faith. We go back to Galatians now. These Galatians, they had a very good passion for the gospel when Paul was there. They received it. They received it. They received it. They were warm-hearted people, but it looks like at the same time they were inconsistent. At the same time they were unstable people. That's what we have today. How stable are you in the Lord? And on this occasion, Paul is with great anguish after he finds that false teachers have infiltrated them and taught them and inculcated some stuff into them that he did not plant. He planted something, somebody came and planted others. And he's so incensed. He's grief-stricken because they were so easily swayed. Some Christians are so easily swayed, just like that. Just because it has not happened at the time he wants it or she wants it, they are swayed. God is not in it. God does not exist. They could not stand in the truth that Paul had given them when he so vividly painted the picture of Jesus Christ being crucified and being resurrected. That's why he calls them bewitched. Now, for Paul, if you can take your eyes off Christ, it must be witchcraft. It must be witchcraft. Because there's too much glory. There's so much awesome beauty. There's so great perfection. There's unlimited wisdom. Such divinity in the Christ that is crucified. So much so that if you turn your sight from him towards anything, no matter your status, no matter your education, no matter how much money you have, for Paul, you are foolish. Not only foolish, you are bewitched. Bakuloga. Foolish meaning that you act, you know, unmindfully. You just, how can you behold Jesus Christ and understand him and then go back to the law? That's for Paul, he does not understand that. How can you go back to the ceremonies from which you came? It's a strange thing that those who have seen Christ should ever go back to the things from which they came. So he asked them, what happened? Tell me. Verse 2, I think. Tell me, what happened? Have you forgotten the simple gospel of Jesus Christ that I laid before you? Have you? When you first heard, have you forgotten that? So he asked them a question. Did you receive the Spirit? Spirit, capital S, Spirit, by works? Or by all of the law? Or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? How can you be so spiritual at the beginning and you end up in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? How? Tell me, I need to know what happened, he's asking. What happened? Explain to me. What happened? Why are you so conflicted that you no longer believe in Christ Jesus who died and rose for you? What happened? What did you listen to? What evil spell came upon you? He's asking. These are questions that are being asked to some Christian watching me right now. What has become of you? What has become of you? You are coiled down somewhere in some corner. Last night you were in a club. Not club. You were drinking yourself silly because you bought too much, you know, alcohol in your house. That's how you know, these days that's how you. What happened? You started in the Spirit. What happened? You can no longer even pray. That's why Paul is saying, who bewitched you? What evil spell came upon you? Today you need to resurrect and go back to the place where he got you. From where you fell. Find the place from where you fell and go back and start that journey again. There is still chance for you to return. There is still chance for you to come back in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. What are you listening to? What did you start listening to that took you away from the Spirit? And now you're in the flesh. What kind of hearing are you entertaining? The law is representative of human effort. You cannot be saved by your human efforts. You are saved by faith, justified by faith. We keep believing. Even when things are not working, we keep believing. Because God requires consistency in faith. Consistency in believing in him. We sang these songs here today. God is, from ages to ages, he is the same. He is the same. He wants to count on you. You can count on him that if he did it yesterday, he will do it for you as well. Hallelujah. However long it takes, he's going to do it for you. So stop dithering. You are trying this, you are trying that. It's not about trial and error. We are not trying something. This is not a vaccine that we are trying, you know. We know that God is God. We know that he is able to do exceedingly above everything, anything that I think or even imagine. He is able. You've got to know that and stick to that. Stop dithering. Today you are believing, tomorrow, oh my God, It's all by faith. It's all by faith. And faith, hearing by faith. Started in the Spirit. Now you are walking in the flesh. Are you complete in the flesh? Surely, the way by which Christians live begins at the time they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that is the system. And that is the system by which we must live throughout our lives. We must sustain that faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. Don't put him aside and then walk on your own side. Walk in him. If you began in the flesh, go in the flesh. But if you know that you began in the Spirit, go back to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. He is asking, have you guys who were in the Spirit, have you gone back to legality? That's Paul asking them. Have you receive the Spirit go back to walk in the flesh? How come? And the only reasonable answer to this is that the same Spirit to them that walk in the Spirit is the same Spirit that they received when they came to the Lord. It is the Spirit of faith, hearing by faith. You do not work for faith. You only receive it by hearing of faith, hearing the word of God. You receive it by hearing. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For if we did not receive the spirit of slavery," sorry, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. It's a spirit. You received the spirit as sons. Sons of who? Sons of God. So when you walk away from him, it's like you are slapping him in the face. He said, "I no longer want to be your son." It's like you are disowning your father. But there's Christians, like I said, most of us have walked away. And some of us have handed our lives over to self-righteous tendencies. We are so self-righteous, you know, we are saved by our works. For me, I'm okay. So the rest of the guys are crazy. And you know, and you can see the way we write about each one another. There's no army in the world that I know that shoots its own like the Christians. Shooting each other blue on blue. Just because somebody is wounded, he becomes an enemy. The soldiers, the American soldiers, the British soldiers, I'm not talking about the soldiers from where you come from, these ones, if one of theirs is injured, they will die trying to rescue him. They will make sure that no one remains behind. Is he injured? Yes. Even when he is dead, some people die trying to rescue a dead body. Can you believe that? But for us, that's because we are too self-righteous. Listen, you are not justified by your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. So stop judging others when they get wounded. Help them. Help them. Because my friend, it is by faith that you are justified, not by your works. So some of us received faith, but yet now we are now going into legality. Too much legalism. Am I saying that we should live our lives anyhow? No. We should respect that mercy and grace that was handed unto us. If you received Christ, walk in him. That's what the Bible says. But walk in him, not walk anyhow, just because we are justified by faith. But if anybody makes a mistake and gets a misstep, we are not to crucify him because of our self-righteousness. No, we are justified by faith. Hallelujah. Some believers have also allowed the spirit of self to arise in their hearts. The self-dependency. So much so that we have come to a point where we do not need the Holy Spirit. We don't need him. I don't need him. I am okay where I am. You need faith. You need to receive from God, to hear by faith. We are justified by faith. As we finish, let's talk about Abraham. Abraham. We're going back to Galatians chapter 3. Because it's Paul who brings up Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, you got it? So, as he's asking them in verse 3, let's go to verse 3. And 4 and 5, let's go to 5, I think. Verse 6, he says, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." It says in verse 7, "Therefore, know that only Only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. So stop claiming the promises of Abraham if you are a man and a woman of doubt. All Abraham did was do what? Was he hear? He heard and did what? And believed. He heard with faith. A promise that was given him at an age that was, you know, ridiculous. 75, he's being told he's going to be a father of many nations. For you, you are 43 and you have given up on life. You have given up. You are full. You say, oh my God, for me, I'm done. I can never achieve. This man is 75 years and God is telling him he's going to be what? A father of nations. To be a father of many. And that many will be blessed through him. That's the promise. When he heard that, he believed. He believed. The Bible says he believed. And it was counted upon him as righteousness. He's quoting here Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. This is when Abraham approaches God and says, I am tired. What's going on? Is Eliezer, who of Damascus, going to be my heir? And God looks at him and says, no. The one who's going to be your heir is in your loins, from your loins. And he takes him out and shows him the stars and says, count them if you can. Says, as many as they are, that's how many your descendants are going to be. And the Bible says that he believed him. He looked at the stars and believed. And it was accounted upon him as what? As righteousness. Let's go to Romans 4, verse 8. Romans 4, verse 8. We'll keep coming back to Galatians chapter 3. Romans 4, verse 8. He's asking, is this blessing, the promise, was it only for special people? Was it only for the circumcised? Or for also the uncircumcised? Therefore, know that only those who, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall put not impute sin. Verse 9, does this blessedness come upon the circumcised only? Or upon the uncircumcised also? Stay with me, we are going somewhere. Verse 8, for we say that faith was counted to Abraham for righteousness. Let me ask a question, how did it come? How was it counted upon him? He asks a question. Was it before he was circumcised or after? Because it's very important. God made sure that this promise came to Abraham before circumcision and before the law. Not while he was circumcised, but when he was uncircumcised. Very crucial. Continue. Verse 11. So the promise comes before he's circumcised. Why? We are going to see shortly. Circumcision came as a seal of what he had already believed. Circumcision came as a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. This I equate. How many of you have been baptized here? Baptism. Is what is baptism? Are we saved because of baptism? No. Baptism is an outward sign of what we have already received on the inside. So he had believed before he did what? He was circumcised. And there's a reason why. Why? That he might be the father of all those who believe. All those who what? Who believe. Like us, the Gentiles, because for us we are grafted into this family of God by faith. But they are children of God who are called the Jews. For them, they are this family. But God prepared a way for us, you and I, because he knew that me and you, we could not be into this family by circumcision. We had to be in this family just by faith, by believing. So he might be a father of all those who believe through, though they are uncircumcised, that the righteousness may be imputed to them also. My goodness. God foreknew this. And the father of circumcision to those who are not only the circumcision, but also who walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. So he's the father of the circumcised and he's the father of the uncircumcised. But God made sure that the promise comes before his what? Circumcised. So that we who are uncircumcised at this moment can step into the footsteps of hearing of faith and receive righteousness also. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that God foresaw that. When he foresaw it, he preached the gospel to Abraham. He preached the gospel to Abraham so that you and me can be grafted into this family of righteousness. How? By hearing of faith. What promise are we talking about? We're talking about a promise that God reaches a man at 75 and tells him, get out of your kindred, get out of your country, get out of the house to a land that I will show you. A land that I will show you. He does not give him an address. Some of us would ask, no, if I don't have an address, it's not God. And he says, once you go there, this is what I will do. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you're blessed, so that you will be a blessing to others. And all the families of the world will be blessed through you. He's talking about your family. He's talking about my family. When? In Genesis chapter 12. Before the circumcision. Before the law. God speaks to Abraham this promise 430 years before the law. Before the law of Moses. You know why? Because he had you and me in mind. In spite of the family ties, in spite of his age, in spite of the things that he was used to, Abraham obeyed. The Bible says he obeyed and went. So Abraham went. He believed God. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 11 says, by faith he obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he would receive an inheritance. A place that he would receive as an inheritance. And he went, not knowing where he was going. Would you do that? Today we want to know every detail. God will not give you every detail. He will say a word. Are you able to follow? He will look at you at a bridge and say, jump. Say, but I need some wings. Say, you jump and you will build the wings on your way down. That's what Abraham did. That's what Abraham did. He went not knowing where he was going. I don't know how he managed to convince his wife. Sarah is asking, where are we going? I don't know. Can you imagine? Where are you taking all of us? I don't know, but God has said, do what? I go. Not everybody has the answers. All the answers will not be laid down for you. All you need to do is what? Believe and walk. So he believed before he was circumcised. It was not by faith. Brother, it was not by circumcision that he received the promise. It was by faith. Hallelujah. Not by works, therefore, did he receive the inheritance. If you want to receive the inheritance of Abraham, say, the blessings of Abraham, the blessings of Isaac, the blessing of Jacob upon me, and you are a woman of faith, you are a woman of doubt, and you are a man of doubt, forget about them. They are only received by the hearing, by faith. That's when he became a father of nations. He did not become a father of nations when Isaac came. He became a father of nations the moment he walked away from his motherland. So circumcision was just a seal. He received it as an outward sign. And the purpose was that he may become father of many nations. Father of many nations, the nations that will be uncircumcised. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 says, so, 3:7 says, so understand, he's talking to the Galatians, so understand that it is the people who live by faith with confidence in the power and goodness of God who are the true sons. The ones who are consistent in faith, those are the ones who can claim to be sons of Abraham. Such as are the children of Abraham, because like father, like son. Like father, like son. Even when he did not receive this child for years, the Bible says, we are not going back into Romans 4. The Bible says he did not waver in his faith. He did not shake in his faith. He was consistent in his faith. Even when he was growing old and his wife was growing, the Bible says that her womb, she was as good as dead. Her womb was as good as dead. He kept believing. He was consistent. He started here and he finished here. Just because you are growing old does not mean you're not going to achieve it. Just because you don't have the capital doesn't mean that business is not going to take off. Just because you have waited for so long does not mean it was not meant to be. Just keep consistent. Keep on keeping on. Remain consistent in your faith, my friend. Justification was not received by circumcision. It was received by faith. Because it was God's plan that you and I be grafted into that family. Hallelujah. So as we conclude today, we refuse to be like the foolish Galatians. We choose to keep on believing, irrespective of what is at hand, irrespective of what is staring you in the face. Keep on believing. Because we know, as the Bible says of our forefather Abraham, the reason why he remained unwavering in his faith is because he believed that the one who promised was faithful to bring to pass what he promised. God will bring it to pass. As long as he said it in your life, he will bring it to pass. Keep on walking the path of faith, the path of hearing of faith. Keep on walking. You need to continue walking. You need to continue hearing. You need to continue choosing what you hear. Become a custodian of your ear gate. Not everything that comes your way should infiltrate your inner man. Be careful what you determine to enter into your inner spirit. Because it will determine what you believe. Whether you have received a promise or not, you need to graft yourself into Abraham and say, I'm going to believe God just like Abraham did in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's when we will inherit, because there's an inheritance that Abraham got. You need it. It is yours. But God said that in him, all the families of the world will be what? Blessed. So that inheritance is yours. You need to claim it. But you cannot claim it if you are just up, and you need to claim it if you are hearing by faith. If you are a man of faith, if you are a woman of faith, choose to be a faithful woman just like Abraham was, a faithful man just like Abraham was. You need to be consistent in the profession of your faith. Keep on believing. Do not be like the Galatians who started up there and ended up down there. Hallelujah. We refuse to be bewitched. I refuse to be foolish. I will believe God on Monday. I will believe him on Saturday. I will believe him until he calls me. Close those eyes. Where you are. Hallelujah. Do you still have faith? Do you still believe in God? Do you still believe that he can come through for you? Do you believe that he can heal your child? Do you believe that he can touch you and turn your life around? Do you believe that the best is yet to come in God? If, like some people, like the Galatians, you had fallen away, this afternoon is yours to come back. You can come back and believe in God again. Believe in the God of wonders again. Believe in the abilities of God again. Believe in his power again. Doesn't matter how far you have fallen, this afternoon you can come back to him. Somebody is saying, I have no idea. I have fallen too far. Come back. Just come to me. All you who are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Receive rest. You can pray again like you did. You can serve the Lord again like you did. You can love him again like you did. It doesn't matter where you have fallen from. Just come back. Just come back. Just come back. Just come back. I'm just welcoming people coming back. I feel some people are coming back. Coming back. Coming back. You're coming back with that heart of worship. You're coming back. You're coming back. You are coming back from the ashes of defeat. You are coming back. You are resurrecting. I speak a resurrection upon somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Receive from above. The door is open. Just come back home. Like the prodigal son, come back home. Come. You cannot have started in the spirit and now you are in the flesh. You cannot be eating with the pigs. Go back home. Go back home. Your father's arms are still wide open this afternoon. You can bounce back again in the name of Jesus. You can come back to the hearing of faith in the name of Jesus. Because you see, you need to claim that inheritance which Abraham got for you and I. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for your daughter. I pray for the son. Somebody who had just gone back into alcoholism, you had gone back into drugs, you had gone back into, in promiscuity. The spirit of promiscuity, I break it in Jesus' mighty name. Break it off your life in the name of Jesus. Come back, come back, come back, come back. Break those cords in the name above every other name. You have seen Jesus Christ. You have tasted his goodness. You have tasted the heavenly gifts. You can come back. That is not where you belong. Bounce back this very afternoon in Jesus' mighty name. Gather yourself and kneel down where you are in your bedroom, in your living room, and say, Lord, here I am. I am coming back to the heart of faith. I'm coming back to hearing your word. I'm coming back to believing your word. I'm coming back to walking the way I used to. I'm coming back to my first love in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Come back. Come back. Come back, child of God. Come back. Come back. He still loves you. Come back. Mandele bosatala blazendele bosa. He still loves you. There's still room at the cross. There's still room for you. There's still room for me. Come, come, come. Let's go back to the Father. Mandele bosatala bandele bo. Mandele bo shikara braze. Whatever you have done, come back. Wherever you have fallen, come back in Jesus' mighty name. Mandele bo shikala bande. To come back to the consistency of faith in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Mandele bosandele bosa. Father, receive your children today, my God. Receive your children today. Somebody who has never, ever given your life to Jesus Christ as Savior. You are saying, today, I want to hand him my life right now. I want to believe in his word. I want to walk by him. You are welcome in Jesus' mighty name. You are welcome in the name of every other name. Father, touch that man in Jesus' mighty name. Touch that woman in the name of Jesus. As they give their lives to you, my Father, Lord. As they surrender to you, my Father, God. Receive them in your sanctuary. Receive them in your bosom. Receive them in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. Father, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl who has been waning in their faith, that King of Kings will be strengthened again in Jesus' mighty name. So they cannot be foolish. No. They are wise in you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for restoration, my Father God. Thank you for restoring that heart. It is well with you, child of God. It is well with you. As long as you say, I surrender. I am sorry, Lord. I walked away from you, Lord. I am stopping in my tracks today. And I am coming back to you. Yes, you will receive it. Come back. Come back. To the first love, to the place from where you fell. You can sing again, you can worship again, you can preach again, you can teach again, you can give again, you can be a blessing again in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. Yes, you can, and you will in Jesus' mighty name this very afternoon. Mandele busatala bakariyaraba. Come back to the heart of worship. Come back from whence you fell. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Father. Thank you, Father God, for it is done. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time,